You're listening pretty late on your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we're taking your calls about today's shootings in California and just in general. I think that I just Googled campus shootings, and apparently this year alone, there have been 23 shootings on college campuses this year, 2015. We have on the line with us, before we bring our callers on, I want to welcome back to the show. It's been a couple weeks. State Senator Dan Katowski joins us. Hey, sir, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Patty?
I'm all right. I don't know if you had a chance to listen. I know that we spoke earlier and you were helping your kids get ready for bed. That's what I was telling our listeners, that I sat down with Griffin and wanted to make sure that he knew that this was happening so he wouldn't find out at school sort of in a haphazard way, but at the same time make him, you know, to the best of my ability, make him feel safe. What do you tell your kids when stories like this break?
I've been following mass shootings in our country since the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And they were less commonplace then. And, you know, one of the things I talk to about my kids as it relates to firearms, I mean, the conversations I have with them, is that it's mainly really been centered around if you're at someone's house, if someone ever shows a firearm, they're to leave.
Right.
They call me right away, get out of that house if it's not, you know, just to try and protect them. Because there's, I mean, the gun violence that we have in our country is not just relegated to mass shootings, although this is such a frequent occurrence. It's unintentional shootings in the home. It's mm-hmm. gun suicides are the predominant number of deaths that are caused by related to gun suicides in our country, and then, you know, gun homicides, of course. And so we talk a lot about decisions that people make that are awful decisions, and that that people don't have respect for life,
right,
that they seem to have in the past. And the big difference that, you know, I would talk to my, you know, children about is that the guns that are made today are exceedingly more lethal than the guns that were made you know, decades ago. And if you just go through, and, you know, people say, well, aren't guns supposed to be lethal? Aren't guns supposed to, and that's the purpose in which you're designed to defend. And that's not the argument that, you know, I often pose. The issue that I raise when I talk about, you know, gun violence with my kids is, number one, the importance of they're doing whatever they can to keep them safe from crime and violence, but to talk with them about the lethality of these guns is that most of these mass shootings have occurred with people with weapons that have high capacity ammunition magazines.
Right.
If you go through the shootings, you know, one after the other, they start from 15-round magazines to 33-round ammunition magazines, some cases 100-round ammunition magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And if you also see there's, you know, there's this kind of this military battle in a way between criminals who now have access to these this weaponry and people committing these crimes to this, you know, militarized type of weaponry. And then I think our police law enforcement feel compelled to compete with that,
right?
And so it's just, you know, the gun industry is the last unregulated industry in the United States of America. When you have a situation where person to person sales are not regulated in the same way that someone would have to transfer the title of a car, or we have to require insurance for a car,
and registration, right?
The licensing registration. It just, it doesn't happen. Like, and the state of Illinois is one of the unique places in the sense that we require background checks on person-to-person gun sales. But in the bulk of the country, that's not required. And, you know, the President Obama rightly pointed out there's some people who are on the no-fly zone because they present a risk as terrorists who can still buy guns in the United States of America.
Wow. That's a bizarre train of logic right there. Senator, I want to take some of our listeners' calls, too, because they want to join the conversation. First, we have, let me make sure I lock you in. We have Sherry, who wanted to share some thoughts. Hi, Sherry. How are you doing?
Hey, How you doing, Patty?
I'm all right. It's a another long day.
Hi there. Yeah, I don't have any kids. If I had a child or kids or whatever, the first thing I would tell them is we're just living in some difficult times, and to just stay hopeful. Just be hopeful.
Yes.
It phases me, but I'm at the point in my life where I just take it one day at a time. I got my living will all set up. I remember 9/11 driving home. I talk to my sister every day. I tell her I love her every day and vice versa. And I'm at peace with that. But as far as what's going on in the world, I mean, it's all about rhetoric and it's all about talk, what you say, how you say it, and why you're saying it. It's too much hate out there.
I agree.
And will it ever speak? I don't think it will. I hope it does. There's that word again. I hope it does. But, man, it is getting worse and worse. And what happened in Sandy Hook?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing came out of Sandy Hook. Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. You would think that would be a turning point when something like that happens.
Absolutely.
You would think.
I met mm-hmm. many of the parents from Sandy Hook whose children were killed. Met Mark Barden. He came down to, and we still talk, and he came down to Springfield to advocate to, because his child, Daniel, was shot 5 times
mm-hmm.
By someone who had a weapon with a high-capacity ammunition magazine. And he was just quite arguing to say, well, why can't we just limit it to 10
right.
rounds? And, Mark is still, obviously, as a parent, those of you who are listening, know that can only imagine what it would be like to lose a child. And if you've lost a child, it's so agonizing and horrific, and it's like a nightmare that you never wake up from.
Yeah.
And he came to Springfield and to advocate to see if we could do something. And unfortunately, I ran that bill. Our legislators did not respond, did not listen. And this was a measure I thought was reasonable. I thought it was a way in which you could both honor and protect people's individual rights while honoring the sanctity of the lives of children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a balance that we can strive in this country. And I agree with you that, we talk every night with my kids about gratitude. What are you grateful for? Every night you have to list three things that you're grateful for. And what do you think that, what are you blessed by? But the fact is there's so much discussion right now and dialogue that's so centered on violence around, and the language is very aggressive.
Mm-hmm. I think Sherry's right, absolutely right about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's you just see it replicated time and time again. And the fact is, yeah, we do have people who struggle with mental illness, and we're not funding mental illness in the way we should. We're not providing those services, and it's kind of this prophecy that's self-fulfilling. But when you cut funding for services, you are going to have problems. But the thing is, when you have a mentally ill person who has a knife or a sharp object, or if they have an AK-47, they're far more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's just, it's basic, simple math. And I think we need to just recognize that. And, this is not about the law-abiding gun owners are out there and good, decent people. And,
right.
And I know a lot of them. This is just about an industry, the gun industry, that refuses to take responsibility for the product that they market and they sell, and they end up in the hands of criminals.
Right.
And they end up in the hands of mass shooters.
Yep.
No, we need to do something about it.
We do. And I want to thank Sherry for her phone call. I want to ask Dave and John to please hold on the line. I have to take a break here. We are talking to State Senator Dan Katowski. We're having a conversation with everyone about today's events and how you're feeling tonight. And I think Sherry's right. You have to hold on to hope. I do believe in be the change you want to see in the world. I think you do have to hold on to hope and not, become part of the problem. But I also think at this point, it feels like we also have to sort of prepare for the worst. More after this on 720 WGN.
Hey, it's Brent Seabrook.
Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. I went to hit phone, Craig. I swear. I meant to hit phone. I was trying to welcome back former State Senator Dan Katowski. Doug, I'm supposed to call you Senator, but I should let people know, in case they aren't aware, that you have taken over the responsibilities as the CEO of... what's the name? Now, what have you changed
Child
the name?
Surf.
Child Surf.
Child Surf.
Yes,
yeah.
For Child Surf.
It helps... children and families who are at risk to build and lead better lives.
And it's I think that it's very commendable that you wanted to do something that had a direct impact on people's lives. You know, do something that, that really you could see the results of hard work directly. We have on the line, we're having a conversation about today's shooting. If I seem tongue tied, it's because I'm constantly trying to figure out what direction to go in as we discuss the shootings in San Bernardino today. Again, we have former states. Well, I'm supposed to call you senator. That was what you told me, right? I don't say former.
No, you just whatever.
Dan. Can I call you Dan now? That's just too weird.
Of course. The unique part about my field, former field, is you're referred to as your previously held highest title.
Okay.
So if you see Pat Quinn, you'd still call him Governor Quinn.
No, I'd call him former Governor Quinn to his face. Hello, former Governor Quinn. So we
But that's because that's what makes you, because you challenge protocol constantly, which is awesome.
Exactly. I don't stand in, whatever it is. Well, here, Dave, how would you like to be addressed, Dave? Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right.
I got four quick points. I'm going to rattle them off really quickly.
Okay.
What I think the United States needs to do, and I'm sure they've done it before, but they need to keep up with it, is number one is look to other countries and find out what other countries are doing that the United States are not doing. Now, I know it's been done, but they need to keep up with it. You know, we're the greatest country in the world, but yet for some reason we have dropped the ball on this gun issue and the violence issue. Number two is what they need to do is with people with, now, like in this case, it didn't occur today, but with people that have mental disabilities or maybe they're a little bit off, like the gentleman in Colorado, they need to somehow do a background check. Like if they go to a mental institution, automatically send it out to like people that you so they can never buy a gun. You know, it should be like a cross reference type thing. Number three, the United States has very no punishment with regards to gun laws. They really need to up it off. If anybody gets caught with an illegal weapon, 10 years automatically. No probation, no house arrest, nothing. Automatic 10 years. That's going to get a lot of people off the streets big time. And if you get caught a second time, 20 years and go for it. They coddle these people that get arrested with gun problems. And that's the problem that lies therein. Number four, and my final point, and I'm going to use this as an example. I'm not trying to be funny here. But you remember back in the 90s, there was a situation. I think he was a Marine that somehow ended up getting in trouble in Thailand or the Middle East, and there was a caning situation.
Yes, I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. Other countries don't play games with punishment. Now, I'm not suggesting the United States should get the caning. I'm not saying that. The problem is that there's no fear of authority and retribution. It's just like the old days, you used to have these gangster movies. Well, you're going to get the chair. Well, maybe they didn't give a care to these gangsters, but at the same time, there still was that a little bit more fear of what the consequences were. Now, a lot of states don't even have the death penalty. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if they do, they try to coddle these guys. Oh, well, we don't want to do it inhumane. We got to do lethal injection, no electric chair. You know, you got to set up and stop and put some discipline and some really tough measures. I think the United States is not tough in these four areas. I'll listen to your response. Take care.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. That's a lot of ground that Dave covered right there. There is something. I'm pushing all the buttons now, Craig. I thought about that on the way here tonight, too, is we often say, well, what do other countries do when it comes to gun control? Senator, I know that you've worked very hard in looking at the gun control issue, but can we look to other countries because of where we are now, how far we've come with the accessibility to guns?
Well, you know, when they had the mass shooting in Australia, they just banned all the guns.
Right.
And they had basically... they had, licensed, I think, the existing possession. So, in that, they haven't had a mass shooting since then. But that's not the culture that we have here.
Right.
We have a Second Amendment in the Constitution, which has been upheld in the courts. But the point here is that one of the things is how can you prevent some of these occurrences from happening. And some of these people, quite frankly, who are committing these horrific acts of violence don't really care about living or dying. after they commit the horrific act of violence. Oftentimes it's a murder-suicide. And,
right.
And so, but the point is, people often are, times are talking about, I think, the back end of the issue. The front end of the issue is, from the gun industry standpoint, is that, you know, guns that are made in this country are not required to pass the same kind of health and safety standards that toys are. If you make a toy, you have to pass these tests of sharp edges and points and loose parts and flammability and hazardous material, and guns aren't. And that's why you see this this change in these firearms and the lethality and how this militarization of the weapons that are out there and their level the level of havoc that they can wreak on the lives of people who are shot. And it's just something that is changed over a period of time. So if somebody who happens to get a gun who is a criminal and they shoot somebody, the doctors told you that we'll point this out, that the injuries that they were seeing, instead of a one shot injury, they were seeing person shot with, you know, five bullets or
right.
or 10 or 15. I mean, so there's, you know, it's just, so it's something that has just occurred over time with the change in technology. And lethality is very much like the nicotine of the gun industry.
Mm-hmm.
The more lethal it is, the sexier it is, the more interesting it is. They want people to go out there. They want them to buy them. And again, we're not saying that people shouldn't have a right to defend themselves, right? But mm-hmm. it gets to a point where you're saying, well, why would somebody have a Tech 9 or a Mac 10 or an AK-47 or a gun that can get access to an ammunition magazine of 100 rounds? Why
right.
would somebody need that? And that's been a debate that continues. But again, I am not so much of the discussion is centered on the people. I should say it's isolated to the people who committed the crime. Of course, most of us would agree that you need to enhance penalties. Most of us agree that we need to do a better job of holding people accountable and having more discipline. But I think the hidden part of this discussion is this industry,
right.
this industry that's out there that is basically is immune from culpability and responsibility, and they continue to make these weapons that end up in the hands of criminals, and there is no accountability for
right.
it, and there should be more.
And when we talk about mental health, by the way, I know that our caller also said that you know, if someone has a, you know, perhaps they've been diagnosed with something, they should never have access to a gun. I would rather there be treatment available so people don't reach the point where they want to hurt everybody else, where they have a lack of, where they come to the point where they have so much pain and rage. To say that someone who is diagnosed with something then should never have a gun, well, then why don't we just lock away everybody because they are incurable and have no hope? Why don't we treat them?
I passed a law that is a byproduct of the Virginia Tech shooting, that if you're considered a danger to yourself or your community, that you would be prevented from getting a gun if you're in a therapeutic context, right?
Right.
The reason why, and that passed, and it didn't take effect until after the shooting happened in Northern Illinois University, where the shooter had been going to see a therapist, but and was considered to be a danger to himself, but also was able to get access to a FOID card.
Right.
And that was a firearm owner's identification card. It wasn't until, but the law that I passed didn't take effect until after that transaction had occurred in that horrific shooting that took place. So, and there are things, there are steps that that people act as if we have gun control in this country. We don't have it. It's a myth. It doesn't exist. We've had it in isolated cases in municipal, like, towns and cities where we've passed very, very restrictive laws, but that's like an island in a sea of regulation that doesn't exist.
Right.
And 20% of the guns that are used in crime in the city of Chicago come from three gun dealers in the suburbs outside of Chicago. And it's, you know, Chicago has very tough laws, but unless we do something about the gun dealers who are selling guns that to people who are criminals, who get guns into the hands of other criminals in the city of Chicago, then we don't have the kind of change that we need to see occur happen.
Right.
But gun control, it's a fallacy that it exists in our country. We have some background checks. We have some laws passed to try and deal with mental illness and confiscating guns from people convicted of domestic violence, keeping them from getting guns. But we don't really have strong gun violence regulations, gun violence prevention regulations in our country. They just don't exist.
Right.
But people have given this notion out there that's been kind of put forward that, oh, my God, we've tried it and we failed. No, we haven't tried it.
Right. And
in fact, real quickly, in 1996, the Center for Disease Control was prohibited by Congress from conducting research on the root causes of gun violence. So we don't even have the kind of research that exists for other kind of related deaths in our country that we should have for gun violence. And they've been prevented by Congress from doing that since 1996.
Well, obviously things have to change. We are on the line with State Senator Dan Katowski. I know that we have John, Fred, and Dave on hold. We have to take a quick break, and I will get back to your calls after this on 720 WGN. Now I'm losing all the buttons. What is it called? Spots, right?
If you've been in Chicago long enough, you know.
Oh, yeah. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. On the air with us, we have State Senator Dan Katowski, and we're taking your calls about today's events. John, you've been holding on the longest. I'm going to take, John, like a half an hour. John, how are you doing?
Good. How about yourself, Patty?
I'm grateful that you hung in there, and I know you had a question, not quite on this subject, but on something that's important as well. What did you want to ask the senator?
Well, I've been watching the news since I got home about the shooting, which is just horrendous. And I've been listening to a lot of people been talking, and they're saying they want better regulations to get guns, better programs, and, you know, things like that.
Sure.
I have a brother who's disabled. He's been disabled since birth. And since my father passed away 10 years ago, I've been taking care of him. And within the past year, I had him out on his own in an apartment about a block away from me, which is fantastic, and he's doing fantastic.
That's great.
You know, and he was on, you know, a lot of the programs like LIHEAP.
Okay.
Governor Rauner threw that out.
Oh.
Now my brother has to move back in with me because his Social Security doesn't cover that, and I don't make enough money to pay for half the gas and half the, you know, electric.
Senator, I thought that the LIHEAP was, they had reinstated that this week. They didn't? I mean, I guess you're not, I know that you're not there currently, but I'd read somewhere that LIHEAP was being funded again.
From what I understand, we got a letter from them not even a month ago because my brother had to re-up. And when we went to go re-up for him, they said it's Governor Rauner threw that program out, and that program is not going to be funded anymore. And I'm sitting there going, you've got to be kidding me.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting there thinking to myself going, now they're going to want to put more programs, better regulations, and all this stuff to get a gun. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself going, now that's going to cost money to do that.
Right. Right. And where is
why
that going to
come? You help people with disabilities and, you know, and problems? I mean, it's take care of your own people that need the help.
John, you know, absolutely. We've been asking that question and cannot get, this is another one where I can't wrap my mind around. This is where I, you know, we started going down to Springfield asking the exact same question. And there's just doesn't seem, you know, people try and they, you know, one of the reasons why bills started getting paid again was because people started suing. And that was the only way to get that done. What can people do about LIHEAP, Senator?
Well, first of all, I would say I want you to call this number tomorrow.
John, you got a pen, John?
Yes.
Okay.
Call 217-782-3875. It's 217-782-3875. That's Senator Murphy, who's my successor, and I'll talk to her about intervening on your behalf regarding the LIHEAP program. Now, it's my understanding that it was going to be reinstated. The budget that we passed. You included funding for LIHEAP, and I'm sad to hear that there was a decision made to cut it off because you know the governor. I don't know what prompted that decision, but this is a program that I cared about greatly, and I know my successor Senator Murphy cares about greatly, and I know a lot of people do. So I want to make sure that you call that number tomorrow, and that.
Okay.
You talk to Senator Murphy. And I'm going to call her and tell her that you're going to reaching out to her and see what you do. What's your brother's name?
Chris.
Chris. Okay. And we're going to do whatever we can to help Chris and to make sure that fund gets restored. Because, I mean, I can only imagine what it was like for your brother to have that sense of independence, living on his own.
Just to see the smile on his face.
Yeah.
Was everything.
Recognizing, like, this is another example of a program that was effective, making a difference in someone's life. Just because there isn't like this huge, powerful lobbying entity behind it, it doesn't get the attention that it deserves. And I want to make sure that we're responsive to your concern, and that you make the phone call tomorrow to see what we can do to advocate on your behalf. Does that sound fair, John?
Yeah.
All righty.
Yeah, John, will you also hold on the line? Craig's going to get your email information. I want to send you my email as well because I want to follow up and find out how you're doing, okay? You and Chris, we want to make sure everything
is... All righty, my dear.
Everything.
I appreciate it, and thank you very much.
Well, look, you're Griffin to Declan. That's what I hear in your voice. So thank you so much, John. Hold on the line, okay? All right. We have Fred on the line who wanted to join the conversation. Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Yes, we got a break coming or you got time for me?
I got a couple. I had to turn my mic off for a second because I got a little choked up. Fred, go ahead.
Okay. Listen, I'm a Chicago police officer. I'm retired, living out here in Phoenix. And I saw the national news in regards to the McCarthy firing.
Yes. Go ahead, Fred.
I'm sort of outraged about the whole thing. Here you got Mayor Emanuel, a guy that held back a video of a kid getting shot so that he could get elected. And he fires the guy, you know, that has anything to do with that. I mean, as far as I know, I worked for all different superintendents, and a lot of them were just pencil pushers, in my opinion.
Fred, we're not cutting you off. I just have to I do have to take a quick break, and I'm glad that you have to share your thoughts. Hold on 1 second. More after this on 720 WGN. I got a lot of passion in Fred's voice. More after this. You've been listening pretty late, and State Senator Dan Katowski has been generous with his time. And Fred, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Did you say you were a former Chicago police officer? Hey, Fred? Fred? Did Fred go away? No? Hey, Fred? Senator? Oh, hi.
Yeah.
All right. Fred, did you say you were a former Chicago police officer?
Yeah, I worked, for many superintendents, and like I said, they were pencil pushers. But I watched this McCarthy. I thought McCarthy was a pretty decent guy, and he did a lot for the department. You know, he gave him the assault weapons.
Fred, I have a really quick question because we are out of time. But here's my one question, though: is it necessary to go outside of the city of Chicago to get a superintendent? Because my sense is, I would want somebody who's come up through the ranks in Chicago, knows the streets, knows the people, knows the gangs, and where the crime is, and kind of just the general atmosphere. Is it better to get somebody from outside of the city, or is it just a pen?
Well, you know, it all depends on the type of who you're getting. You know, there's guys with a lot of experience from outside the city. It's better to get them from inside the city,
that's,
like you said.
That's
you
what
know.
I think. Yeah.
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 You know, I personally don't even know where McCarthy came from. All I know
Jersey.
Is I watched.
Wasn't it? He's from Jersey, I think.
It was New Jersey.
Yes.
I didn't even know that. But like I said, I thought he was a pretty decent guy, though, because a lot of the guys, you know, from within that you're talking about, they're nothing but a bunch of pencil pushers of people that suck to get up to the top, you know, where you get a guy from outside, he's a new guy, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly. He's got to learn everything.
I think he did a decent job as far as I know. And I called the union, and the union said that he's a pretty decent guy. Guys like him. Some guys don't like him. I mean, there's always people that don't like the guy because he fired a few people for – instances that weren't that great, and a lot of people don't like them for that.
Right. Well, Fred, I'm glad you got to share your thoughts with us, and I think there are probably people who agree with you, people who don't agree with you, but it's important that you join the conversation. Thank you so much for listening, too, Fred. You have a good night, all right?
Yeah.
Happy holidays. Dave, I'm so sorry we can't get to your call because do we hang on till after the hold Dave on till after the news?
Yeah, we can try to get to that last call. And by the way, McCarthy worked in New York first
before Jersey. All right. Senator Katowski, we want to thank you for your time. I know that you've got to get to work in the morning. So thank you so much again. The CEO of ChildServe has been on the line with us. Sir, have a great night. We'll talk to you next in 2 weeks.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely.
I'm all off next week. And we're not blowing you off. It's that I'm going to be gone.
Have a great night and good luck in LA.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for your conversation.
Thanks.